on behalf of Ashley, the girls, and Papa Jimmy, I want to thank you all for being here today. In honor of Josh, we're going to take some time here to remember him and honor his time among us through the eyes of those who knew him best. By way of full disclosure, my name is Dan, one of the pastors here, and you can tell I snagged a cold in the last couple days, so I apologize for sounding nasally. I knew Jimmy way back, late 70s, early 80s. We worked together at the way station. He was a cook. I was a dinner house waiter, and then I actually became his boss for a while. And it just speaks to really the nature of connections here in Tahoe, having lived here 46 years. I wasn't a Christian when I moved here, and here I am all these years later, now a pastor at a Christian church in Tahoe, and Jimmy came and found me. And I was watching the slideshow this morning, and there was Caleb and Josh together, and I'm thinking of Kenny. And it's just full circle, really, how life is, and I'm grateful for this community that I live in. That someone that was an acquaintance of mine over 40 plus years ago comes and finds me in his time of sorrow, because it's a privilege to be here today for the family and to be with you all. It truly is. Got to meet Ashley for the first time about a month ago. I was so impressed with her devotion and love of Josh and the kids. Ashley is actually behind everything you see happening here today on display, the service itself. This girl pulled this all together. And grateful for all that, Ashley, and what you've done. Let me just quickly add this thought in the welcome here. There's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Psalms. Most of them were written 3,000 years ago by King David in his meditations with God. And I want to read this one because it just speaks of the largesse of the Creator. David writes, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know where I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. You both proceed and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." If you wouldn't mind bowing your heads with me as I pray. Father, you made the world and everything in it, and since you are the Lord of heaven and earth, you don't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't minister to your needs, for you have none. You give life and breath to everything and satisfy every need there is. You created all the people of the world, and you scattered the nations across the face of the earth, and you alone decided beforehand which ones would rise and which ones would fall, and when. Your purpose in all of this is that we should seek after you and perhaps feel our way toward you and find you, though you are not far from any one of us, because it is in you we live, move, and breathe. You know the hearts and minds of everyone in this room, and perhaps in spite of that, you not only still love us, but you desire that none of us should be lost. In fact, you're giving all of us the space and time to find you. I think of Ashley, Jimmy, and the kids, and how hard they've been hit by Josh's passing. I just pray that the words spoken today and the time we spent honoring him will bring lasting comfort to their hearts as they grieve. I pray that you'd strengthen them for the days ahead so that when Josh fills their hearts and their memories, they can live in the hope of not only being together again one day, but also present with you and your kingdom come, your will being done in the land where tears and sorrows no longer exist. We pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Ashley, you and Hanny?
Hi guys, I'm Ashley, Joshua's wife. I'm very nervous to be up here. My husband Joshua Newton was born Monday, May 3rd, 1982 at 5:32 a.m. in Austin, Texas at the Breckenridge Hospital. He started kindergarten here locally at Tahoe Valley Elementary on August 31st, 1987. He graduated from South Tahoe High School in 2000. During his school years, he had a lot of passion for track and soccer. In the fall of 2001, he had started hanging out with my brothers, and on January 6, 2002, we were sitting together, and he was telling me how he feels that destiny brought us together because we had been together in a past life. He always expressed to me that he knows this due to how at home his heart and soul feels when he was around me. Shortly after, he went to serve in the Navy on the USS Enterprise from July 9th, 2002 to March 15th, 2005. He got the chance to adventure the world and spread his love all over his country while serving his country. After that, his adventure in life continued on. We all can fill in those blanks with amazing memories that we have for everlasting. We were always never more than a phone call away from each other, and he will always be the man of my dreams. All of his qualities, from humble, loving, funny as all can be, very intelligent, strong, protective, all lit up my soul, and he knew it. He always kept his word by being my rock and savior. Through everything we would go through, he would call me, and I could help him through his things, good or bad. He loved no matter how. No matter what, I could make him feel whole and loved, and we could find laughter in any situation. On October 4th, 2011, I gave birth to our daughter, Xylee Ann. Although he wasn't there physically in her life, he was always there to protect her and be there for me while I raised her and my other two children, Kylie and Taylor, who grew very fond of him over the years. We grew stronger and stronger together. He truly is an amazing dad and a husband, and completed our lives. We finally got each other, and our lives were so completely filled with happiness and laughter. One of my many fondest memories of Joshua and I is that once we made us an actual thing, we traveled. We started going all kinds of places. We went to Vegas, to Idaho last year, to Arkansas and Arizona. No matter where we went, people would always compliment how happy we looked together and how we would glow with happiness and laughter, even though our bad luck hurdles on our vacation and at home due to the fact that we both had the curse of Murphy's Law. Whatever would go wrong went wrong, and we had to maneuver our way through it, but we always found laughter. Together, we truly could accomplish any and everything. And although I miss him deeply and dearly every single day, I know that he is right here with me by my side to put a smile on my face through all these tough times and battles. I appreciate that each and every one of you have showed up today because of the simple fact that he had in one way or another impacted all of your lives. He truly thrived on this. It really helped build his character. He loved nothing more than showing up and being there for his family, his friends, his brothers. Oh, he had a heart of gold, and we all know that he had an amazing sense of humor. He was definitely a morale champ no matter where he went, and the laughter that was so contagious no matter what mood you were in, he would bring a smile to your soul.
I wrote a little something for Josh. Okay. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Hanny. Joshua's my older brother, Caleb's best friend, which automatically made me his annoying little sister. It's not every day that you get to meet such an extraordinary man like Josh. He truly was one of a kind. He was kind-hearted, honest, humble, and genuine. He cared so much about his family, his children, and most importantly, his beautiful wife. He had many accomplishments, but I believe his biggest success was spending his last days with his true love. One of my favorite memories of Josh was when my parents left him and Caleb in charge while they went out on their first date night in many years. Marshall and I were jumping on the trampoline and the poles came apart. Caleb and Josh went to fix it and caught Caleb's finger between them. Those two were screaming while Marshall and I ran around screaming as well. Nonetheless, we spent my parents' date night in the hospital, and no, they weren't allowed to be in charge anymore. Although I never imagined having to say goodbye to another brother, I would like to believe that Josh is up above us in the clouds, floating around, causing mischief. Those two are forever my heroes, and I miss them every day, and I look forward to the day when I get to see them again. But until then, you will be remembered as the shining bright star.
Next coming up is our girls, Zylie and Kyleen.
I'm Kyleen. This is Zylie. We all had the amazing privilege of knowing Josh. My siblings and I were given the blessing of being able to call him Dad. He had been supporting my mom since way before I existed, and I officially met him when I was 2 years old. He's been in my life since as mom's friend who occasionally came around every so often. But let's all be honest, we all know how much they loved each other and always said that they would eventually come for one another. So when my mom told me almost 4 years ago that it was finally happening, I was overjoyed for her and all that she would achieve from that and worry about what it would cause for me and my family. But with no doubt in his heart or his soul, he took me and my siblings as his own. He stepped up and took the title of dad with everything and everything that came with it. I am beyond grateful for the time that we had and every day wish and hope for more. Sorry. I know that he will be next to me and all of us, guiding us through the next steps of life, for the rest of life. I will hold the memories and adventures and late night laughs we all had together and so much more. And I will live every day to the fullest and every venture to the fullest for him. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Zylie. I didn't really write anything, so this is kind of just coming from the heart, and I'm sorry if I stutter or if I repeat myself too much. But
it's okay.
I want to start as he did everything for us. He did everything for so many other people, and he tried so hard for everyone else to do whatever he could, make them laugh and to make them happy. And sometimes I would be having a bad day, and I would come from school, and I would be snapping at everyone, and he would just make me laugh and make me happy again. He's been in the background of my life since I was born. I've met him a few times, but I haven't really remembered him. And we finally got to move in, and when we met him, like, officially, it was his birthday, and me and my mom were going out together. And my mom asked if it was okay if a friend joined, because it was his birthday. And then at the end of it, she kissed him on the cheek. And I was making fun of them and stuff. And then one of us asked if I could ride on his Harley with him. Mom wasn't that happy about it, but I ended up riding pretty far with him. And it was really fun. And we would go down to Nevada and see him a lot. And then we finally moved in with him. And it was best year of my life. Thank you.
Before I introduce the next speaker, I have one memory that I want to share. I think when I fully found out that he was finally coming for my mom, he came over and me and my best friend were sitting on the couch, and he walks in and my mom is her normal red self, and me and my friend start teasing her about it. He looks at us and he puts his hand on his hip and he goes, "I can make her get real red real quick." And my mom instantly, big smile, blushy, and she walks outside really quick, and he quickly follows. And I just remember laughing about that with my friend for, like, hours afterwards and constantly teasing her. But Aaron and Tim are up next to speak, so I'm going to give the mic over to them.
My name is Aaron. I didn't write nothing for this. Joshua was, you know, was my friend, was my coworker. I had moved here 4 years ago from Kansas, and in Panasonic, the job that me and Josh worked at. That was my first job. You know, me and Josh were in the same orientation class. And that was my first friend here. He was like a brother to me. I'm sorry, I'm not good at this, man. That was my boy. They called us Thunder and Lightning. Thunder and Lightning. That was our thing. He was lightning, I was thunder. I've only been here for 4 years, but it was a blessing to have known Josh and to have had him as my friend at my side, because he taught me so many things that he probably don't even realize, that, you know. He taught me the importance of being a real man. Yeah, we're grown, we're older, but that doesn't define a man. And he taught me the importance of taking care of family, the people that you love, and the ones that you hold close to you. And he taught me so many things, man. When I hear y'all up here talking about, like, his smile and how he would light up the room when he came in, you know, we'd be on the way to work in the mornings, early mornings. The sun's not even up yet. And we used to drive to work together. And within the first 20 minutes of that drive on the way to work. We could have had the worst day ever the day before. But in that first 20 minutes, man, he would somehow find a way for me to smile, be laughing, be joking. By the time we would pull up at work, we would have this thing, we would look at each other, gonna be a good day? It's gonna be a good day. And I'm gonna knock it out. And it just, people don't really understand, man. He could change any room that he walked in. You'll see a thousand frowns in that room before he comes in. And when he came in that room, and he'd get that little smile, and you would just instantly, I don't even know why I'm smiling, but I'm smiling. That was my boy. That was my boy. And in the past about 2 years, I've seen him the happiest he's ever been, the happiest I've ever seen him. He had got his family, got his house, got everything in his life that he wanted, that he was fighting so hard for. He had achieved it. And that is Josh, that was my boy. That was my boy. And I know a lot of people in here have probably known him for years longer than I have. But I know I'm speaking for him when I tell you he would have been happy to see everybody in this room together today like this. He would have been able to look out here and seen all the love in it. And I just want to tell y'all thank you for being here today. Because I know he would have loved this. That's it.
Hi, everyone. My name's Tim Gerling. And I knew Josh. I met him back in high school. Aaron and anyone, it didn't matter how long you knew Josh. That was the thing about Josh, is you could have just met him, and you still would have had some kind of memory, something about him that you would hold on to. It doesn't matter how long you knew him. He had that effect. He made every single person feel special about themselves and about him and about the way he presented himself. And I think that's one of the biggest things I can take away from Josh. I met Josh in high school. Josh didn't like me. As a matter of fact, he hated me. He thought I was a punk and just some punk kid and went and hung out, and I got completely wasted and had to carry me home. Okay, like it was not the best first impression. Okay, but then we both were real people, down to earth, you know. We both had struggles, and we just got along really well. So after that, he had asked me if I could lend him some money because I had a job, and for his insurance, for his car insurance, for his first car. You know, you're in high school, you don't have a car, right? And so I was in. I was like, yeah, I'm in, man. You gotta pick me up, though. Give me a ride every day, school. He's like, okay. So we made a deal, and that's how our friendship started. He hated me, and then he loved me because we got a car. But through that, we grew together, and we were together through everything. I mean, we fought together. I'm talking going against six guys, me and Josh, okay? Like, we were crazy, crazy kids. And there is one story I want to tell. Forgive me being in church, but I'd never done mushrooms before. Sorry, got to bring it up, okay? So I'll be the one that brings this up. So Josh comes and picks me up in the middle of the night. I sneak out of my window, okay? And we go to our friend Jesse Gonzer's house, and me and Kevin and Jesse and Josh, we were called the Motley Crue. My mom called us the Motley Crue. We were always hung out. We were always together, causing trouble. Anyway, so we were the Motley Crue. So we went out, and we went to Fallen Leaf Lake. There was also David. David Baker was there as well. His truck, we were, you know, out there driving. Josh had his car, his Escort. But you had to hold the lights on in order to have the lights on. You know, it's pitch dark. We had to hold it, okay? So he had to hold the lights the whole time while shifting. So I was like, hey, I'll shift. I'll shift, bro. I got it, dude. I'm by this time, I'm gone, right? Okay, so he's like, Tim, you got to shift. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'll just always forget. So he's like, I got it, Tim. You know, so it's my first time. But anyways, David Baker's truck got stuck. It's a truck. How did he get a truck stuck? He didn't know how to put it back in four-wheel drive. Okay, so we had to drive all the way to the Y. We go to the payphone to call someone, and there's a cop. Woo, hi guys, what's going on? Why are you up so late? It's a school night. We got stuck and we couldn't get out, right? So we drive in the cop car, shrooming, okay, high as can be, all the way out to Fallen Leaf Lake. He pops it, each wheel into four-wheel drive, and we get it out, and he's like, Josh, you stay with me. So he knew Josh, he knew the family, he knew Jim. So he's, you know, Josh got the short end of the stick of that because he had to stay in the cop car with the cop. And I don't know, I felt I had to bring up that story because we had such a blast. I got to say, most of my memories of Josh when we were younger, they were all good. I mean, we've had our fights and stuff, but Josh just taught me so much, like Aaron said, how to be a man. If there is a description in the dictionary of a man, I have to give that to Josh. He loved so much. Ashley, he talked about you all the time. I would get so freaking annoyed. And I'd say, Josh, I love you, but shut up. But that's what his love was for every single person. And if you didn't know that, you didn't know Josh. Seriously, he loved every single person, and he would light up the room, like everyone has said, in a different way. Me and my sister are here. We grew up with Josh. It was extremely good times, extremely fun. And Ev, thank you all for being here. Josh brought everyone together, and I'd like to think of you as my family, because Josh was my brother. We might not have had the same mom, but we did everything together. And no matter how far apart we were, whenever we'd get back together, it'd be just like how it was. So I have to say, one thing about Josh is I hope and pray one day I could be as good of a friend, a father, a brother, everything that he was. I hope one day to ever come close to how Josh was. I thank you all for being here. Is it Kenny? All right, we'll have Kenny come on up.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Marshall. Caleb was my older brother, which, if you guys don't know, he was Josh's best friend, lifelong best friend. I remember when my brother died 13 years ago, the very first person who called me to check up on me was Josh. You know, and I was only 16 at the time, and like I said, they were lifelong brothers, but it was also really hard on Josh, too. He lost his mom a little bit after that, too, in the same year, you know, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't really prepare a speech or anything, but, yeah, and every time me and Josh got together, man, like, he would just have endless stories about him and my brother. Like, I could literally 13 years of knowing, like, at once he came back home, like, he just, every time I met up with him, he would have, like, a new story that I didn't hear. Like, and I would live for these stories, man. I was, like, a younger person at the time, and it was just, like, amazing to listen to every, like, little thing those guys, they lived life together. My brother was only 28 at the time, and Josh is the same age as him. But, you know, they were 28 years old, and they had lived a full life already. Those guys are my heroes, always will be my heroes. And it's hard to lose another brother. As everyone knows, you know, he loved everybody, just as Aaron and Tim have already said. And I'm sorry this happened, Josh. This wasn't supposed to happen like this, but I'll see you again, and I love you forever.
All right, I'm one of Jimmy's lifelong friends. We've been friends together for 46 years, and we all met back at the way station with Dan there, and I was roommates with Jimmy, and when I met, we were roommates for probably, about 3 years, and then I met my wife, and I left Jimmy, and a few months later, he met Cheryl, and my son was born, and then a few months later, Josh was born, and so we've been together and friends and family, not friends, family, for 46 years, and I don't know how to describe the feeling. Well, I can describe the feeling that Jimmy's going through, because I've gone through the same thing, and Josh was always there, and Jimmy was always there for us and our family, and Josh and Josh was went to the Navy, and he was roommates with my son in the Navy, and they spent time together back east, and they came home, and they had a lot of stories, and they'll never catch up to the stories that Jimmy and I have, but they gave it their best shot, and you know, it's tough for a parent to lose. It's not supposed to happen this way. We're supposed to go first. And so the only thing I can say is that, you know, hug your kids every single day. It doesn't matter what happens. Always hug them. Always end each day with, I love you. And I know that Josh is with Caleb now, and he's going to be with Caleb. We have a memorial with Caleb's ashes, and we're going to be adding Josh's ashes to Caleb's ashes. They're going to be together again, and we're going to do it at our house. We're having the after party, because I know Josh would like to, have a good time and everything. And I don't know what else to say that other than Jimmy, we're always going to be there, man. You know that. We're always going to be together as a family, and we started together, and we're going to end together. And the only thing I can say after that is fuck cancer.
Your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Took my first breath where the muddy grasses spills into the Gulf of Mexico, where the skyline's colored by chemical plants that put bread on the table of the working man, where the working man does his best to provide safety and shelter. beautiful kids and a wife. Giving a little of a soul every day, making overtime to keep the wolves away. Barely 13 when the company man tried to dig my daddy's grave. It happened on a French-owned tanker ship, spilling poison in the Galveston Bay. Well, the liquid fire filled his lungs and his eyes, silenced any more cries. Cold in the grave, with death stinging pain, he fought like hell. Keep the wolves away. Settlement came and we moved out of town, where the sky isn't heavy with refinery clouds. Yeah, he's still alive, he's doing good, he's in his 50s, but the money's running out and he's painting for pennies. So I'm going for broke with every song I play, 'cause now it's my turn to keep the wolves away.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through.
Jimmy asked if there was anyone that wanted to take a moment to share some thoughts about Josh, that we could do that now if you'd like. So feel free to stand up and walk up here. And if you'd like to do that, and if you don't, I'll be right back.
All right, as you guys saw a couple of pictures in there, you saw Michelle and the rest of us sitting there showing our tattoos and everything. When Caleb was in the Navy, when he passed, he was in the nuclear section, and he got a tattoo of a nuclear, some kind of a nuclear symbol, something like that. So when he passed, immediately what we did was we went down to Mush's shop, and we all got tattoos of the same thing. And we all got them, and we all got them in there, and we all had a feather put in there. And I think Josh had three feathers. I had one feather, and Josh had three feathers, and Michelle had four, I believe. And Marshall got one, and Josh got one too. And so that's how close we are as a family. We all stuck together no matter what. And I'm sure you guys have got a lot of good stories about Josh too. But anyway, I just want to share that one because we showed that picture a few times, and that's how tight we are as a family, is we stuck together no matter what.
I'm going to give this a try. I'm Josh's aunt. He always called me Aunt Olivia, as opposed to just Olivia or such. And to me, Josh had a Peter Pan quality about him. And listening to all you guys, I believe that's true, because, you know, people can be young, they're already old at heart. But that wasn't Josh. To me, he had a childlike quality. He was always young at heart. And he had the best smile, don't we all know that? So many of you have mentioned that. When I miss that smile, I'll never hear Aunt Olivia in his voice again. Nephew, we love you. We miss you. He'll always be in our hearts. Please give your mom a hug and kiss from us, and you'll always be my Peter Pan.
Okay. I've never spoken at a funeral before or a celebration or anything because of my crippling anxiety. But the first time that I met Josh, I was at Kai's house, and I genuinely believe we were watching Supernatural. And what Kai said earlier, Mom came in all bright red and everything. And then once they left and we were laughing, we decided right there that Josh was Mom's Iron Man. So for years, we only referred to him as Iron Man. And the first thing Josh ever said to me was, when I was introduced to him, Mom said that I was her adopted child. So Josh immediately just kind of went, okay, cool, you're my child now. And I don't think he realized what would come with that, considering I also kind of came from a broken home. But he just immediately took on the father figure role, and that was just really sweet. And he definitely gave me the best Halloween of my life. He made sure that we just kept doing things, and we were up until like 2 in the morning just having a blast. And I will never forget that.
You okay?
Yeah.
Nobody else? All right. I'll be brief. Thanks again for taking the time. You know, when I deal with sorrow in my job, which was frequently enough, one of the things that is within the church, the guys will say to one another is how difficult it is when a parent loses a child. It's just the worst, and seeing far too much of that in our lives over the years. You know, the irony that two best friends are both gone now. I remember speaking at Caleb's service out at your house, Kim. And, you know, when you have that kind of sorrow, it's, you know, you don't know what to do with it. I mean, Jimmy was supposed to even come up and try to talk today. It's overwhelming. And it just struck me while I was sitting there that, you know, that kind of sorrow is really the reason why the Bible is written. It is, because the Bible is really a book of hope. The Bible points out to all of us, and you'll see it on our welcome sign out there if you haven't read it, that we're all messed up. We've all gone astray. We've all had struggles. We've all done things, and I could line up right there with Jimmy and Kenny in my stories. But the book is about a book of hope to tell us, you know what, God does care about you, and God wants to be a part of your life. I made that journey some 40-plus years ago. I recall somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago, we lost a teacher up here by the name of Scott Hudson. Some of these kids may have actually remembered Mr. Hudson. Anyway, we were friends because I was coaching up at the high school. He was coaching at the middle school. He was a great guy, and we both coached runners, and I really liked him. His wife and one of his daughters would come to church here on Sunday, so one day I said to him, I said, "Hey, Scott, how come I don't see you in church on Sunday?" And he said to me, "Science kind of gets in the way for me." And I laughed, and I said, "Well, let me know when that doesn't work for you." So fast forward a couple years, Scott had a courageous battle against esophageal cancer. And it appeared that he had won the fight. And we were celebrating all that. And about 2 years after that, I was still coaching up at the high school. I get a phone call one day. I'm driving on the bus with one of the teams down to Reno. And it's Scott. And he's in the hospital at Barton. And he says, "Hey, I need to talk." And I said, "Sure, what's up?" He says, "Well, you probably haven't heard, but my cancer's back." I said, "No, I didn't know that, Scott. I'm sorry." And he says, "Is there a time we can meet this week?" And I said, "How's tomorrow?" And he says, "It's great." So I truck over to Barton in the morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And what was happening was Scott was being released to go back home, and he had been told, "Get your affairs in order." And so I'm sitting out in the hallway because one after another person that worked at the hospital was coming in to say goodbye to him. This went on for over an hour. And he kept coming out and goes, "Dan, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." I said, "Don't worry about it." So I just hung there and waited. And finally, I got to go into the room with him. It's just he and I. And he sat me down in a chair at the foot of the bed, and then he leaned up against the back of the front of the bed there and was looking down at me. And he began to be very inarticulate, which was unusual for him. He wasn't able to get the words out. And he was kind of stumbling and mumbling a little bit. And he says, "I need..." And he just drugged that last word, "need," out for about 5 seconds. And I looked at him and I said, "Hope." He goes, "Yes." So being the guy that I am, I looked up at him. I said, "So how's that science working for you now?" And he just lost it. He laughed so hard. But the reason I want to share this story is because Scott is reminiscent of so many of my friends over the years. For whatever reason, we don't think about God or we don't want to apply God to our daily lives. That's okay. I'm not judging you. Trust me. We all got to make our way through this journey. He wanted hope. And I said, "Scott, the only hope I have is what the Bible tells me about his son, Jesus, that God sent his son to die in our place." I said, and in fact, I can tell you the verse. It's a famous one. You see it at the football games, John 3:16. It's an amazing passage of scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." And, you know, the first thing that reminds me is that God grieves because God lost a son for us, volitionally. "Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And I shared that with Scott. And he says, "I believe that." I said, "You really believe that?" He goes, "I do." Because he was looking down the gun barrel of it all ending very shortly. And he hears this message that he really had never heard before in his life, this astonishing hope that, you know what? The greatest sorrow, the greatest thing that can happen is death. And God says, "Death can do nothing to you if you know me. Nothing. It'll only usher you into a better life." And so my friend Scott made that journey. I'll tell you a funny story about that, and then I'll wrap. At his service, he had another really good friend who was like him previously, still an atheist. And he had his friend read his letter that he wrote, that Scott wrote of himself. His friend read the letter, and in the letter, at the memorial service, he says, "I want everyone to know that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And I'm sitting there in the front row. I didn't know what was in the letter. And I'm looking up at his friend reading this, and I'm smiling. And he's kind of looking at me like going, "Oh, I didn't see this one coming." And I just said, "It's such an amazing turnaround." So I'm looking forward to seeing my buddy Scott someday, as I'm looking forward to seeing all of my friends again one day. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." I would want that for anyone I've ever met. If I had the cure to cancer, I'd want to share it. But I have the cure for sorrow. Let's close quickly in prayer. Father, you know hearts and minds. I read that earlier. I spoke that earlier in our prayer. You know everything. You know everybody in this room. And Lord, I pray that you touch hearts. Not just that they might know you, but they might be healed by you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a party over at Kenny's place on Blitzen Road. The directions are on the back of the map if you, by chance, don't know how to get there. And at this point, if you'd like to get up and greet the family, we'd love you to do so. Thanks for coming today.